When it comes to women in sport, we like to chat with Dr. Casey Simmons, research fellow in the Sport Innovation Research Group at Swinburne University. And my, is there some awesome sport going on at the moment. Welcome back. How you going there, Casey?
I'm sleep deprived. I'm exhausted, Jeff, but I'm so excited to be talking to you today. All things Women's World Cup and the Matildas. These games are keeping me up all night. They're going late into the night, especially last night, big overtime game down to penalty shootouts against with USA and Sweden. But, you know, we just have to soak up all this energy because it's so exciting.
It is so exciting. But before we can even get to that, did you say up for the Netball World Cup final?
Well, that's another reason why I'm so exhausted, because that game was at 2 a.m. So I got home from Melbourne Rectangular Stadium last night from the
game.
Dude,
no.
30.
You didn't.
Made myself a coffee, got myself caffeinated, stayed up to see Australia take on England and win the Netball World Cup in South Africa 61-45. What an amazing performance there. So our Australian women are just doing us proud all through the sporty codes at the moment.
Like just going above and beyond. I mean, that is amazing. Major victory in terms of the scoreline there.
100%, especially against England, long-time rivals.
Right. I mean, they walloped them, essentially.
Yes, and, you know, we had unfinished business from the netball side. That was our Diamonds tagline going into the Netball World Cup, because we had a bit of a slip at Commonwealth Games a few years ago. And, you know, we've sort of had that in our sights to sort of continue to dominate on that world stage, really build up our reputation, because we've always been known as the best netball side in the world. So to have that World Cup again is pretty exciting.
Well, and this is what people can lose sight of with elite sport like that, is that it doesn't take much to have an off day like they did at the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's just so much pressure, particularly on our women, just to consistently dominate, consistently prove themselves, because they're up against so much more than a lot of our men athletes as well, not just to succeed, but to do it all with such limited resources, to really prove that they're worth the investment, that they're worth our time as fans to watch, and they consistently perform. So they have all that added pressure as well to continue to deliver. So when they do have an off day, it's particularly heartbreaking, because they have so many more barriers to go up against. So that's why we've got to keep rallying around our sides, because we know that they are coming from further behind, but they're still amazing athletes. They're still delivering the entertainment and delivering the success.
So, Casey, let's move on to the other round ball variety of World Cup that's going on at the moment, and the pressure that they must be under. Like, we just talk about the pressure of the Netball World Cup, but this home World Cup, I mean, seriously, I wouldn't want to be Sam Kerr for all the money in the world, the pressure she would be under.
Oh my gosh, Sam Kerr with the cuff that has stopped the nation is the
right.
Which is so true. I don't think we've talked more about an athlete's car for a long time until Buddy Franklin called it time a few days later after Sam Kerr went down. But, you know, this calf injury has just been everything we want to talk about, because you're right, you know, it's a World Cup, of course. The pressure's already going to be on a global stage. But, you know, the Australian Football Federation, Football Australia and New Zealand Football as well worked so hard over the last few years to really develop football in Australia and New Zealand for the women's game. We fought so hard to get that bid through to host this amazing tournament in our backyard. So to have the two national teams, you're representing both sides there in a global tournament in our home countries, puts that extra layer on. So unfortunately, New Zealand didn't make it past the group. Australia just got through, which is really exciting. But to have that pressure of the nation in your home country as well, and have our biggest star, our captain Sam Kerr, feel that extra pressure of sort of pulling through that injury. We've seen reports over the weekend that there was a helicopter spying on the training session in the Matildas, which is, you know, just how far we've come, that we have so much interest from our media to see what's happening with Sam Kerr at training, that there was a helicopter. But we also have the coach, Tony Gustafsson, saying, you know, just can you respect us? We're trying to get through this. We've got a massive game tonight. So we've got to sort of keep that under lock and key a little bit. But, you know, there's two sides of that. It's like, yes, we should respect the team and they've got a lot on their plate, but how amazing we've made it to this point in women's sporting history that we have helicopters flying over training because we need to know what's going on with our star players. So that puts so much more pressure, like you just mentioned there, Jeff. But, you know, it's amazing to see that we have so much interest and we're all collectively as a nation just so interested in the success and sort of the bigger picture of this tournament and what it means for women's football in Australia, but also around the world.
Well, and Casey, the pressure, the previous world champions, out. Sweden dealt with the USA and they're gone. I mean, that just shows you the level of intensity to get through to the next round.
100%. That was such an incredible game last night and both sides just going absolutely down to the wire. Millimetres separated Sweden from the previous World Cup champions. So that was just an intense match to watch. But it also just says so much about how much the global game is progressing across the world in women's football. You know, we have, yes, Team USA exited the tournament last night, who have won 4 World Cups, such a successful side. We have teams like Germany exit in the group stage, which is unheard of. Germany's one of the best sides in the world. Went to the Women's Euros last year, lost against England, but still an incredibly talented outfit. Teams like Brazil that have been a global superpower in women's football for a long time, with a player like Marta leading the charge, exit as well. They were sort of knocked out of the group stage by Jamaica, who crowdfunded their way to the Women's World Cup. They had to do it on their own. So the global talent pool of women's football is continuing to grow. This FIFA Women's World Cup was also the first World Cup that we expanded the pool out to 32 sides. And, you know, there was a bit of talk about that. Is the talent there? Is it going to dilute the talent? But absolutely not. It's absolutely added so much more exciting storylines, put the pressure on these global football powers like Team USA, like Germany, like Brazil, and many others to continue to develop, to continue to ask their football governing bodies for investment to grow the game across the world, because it's getting so much more exciting and delivering the goods for fans. Fans are tuning in, fans are buying jerseys, fans are seeing this amazing product, and it really is changing the game.
Well, and I mean, how do the numbers of eyes on the FIFA World Cup make a difference to growing the game? Is it a snowball?
I think so. Like, you look at what happened in France in 2019, and that was sort of really touted as, you know, the most successful so far, and comparing it to Australia, where, you know, it's still got 11 days of the tournament left, and we've already surpassed so much of those records that were set in France in 2019 in terms of broadcast, ticket sales, attendance, interest. And like I said, we've expanded the pool out now, so more countries are represented, so more people across the world can tune in and watch their team play and see those visible role models reflected back to their youth. For young girls and young boys to look up to pick up a soccer ball and give it a go. And even those who might not want to participate, it just gives another entertainment product that shows the value of women and gives them the respect that they deserve. So that broadcast can just do so much good across the world when it comes to gender equality. It gives that signal that sport can be for everyone to pick up a ball or a stick or whatever game you want to play just to get involved and feel those benefits of being connected to sport. But it also shows us from an entertainment point of view that women's sport is valuable. You can invest in it. There is a return on investment there. And it sends that signal out that these women are representing more than just those athletes on the pitch. They're doing all of this work outside of it as well.
Well, how's that stacking up, Casey? Is there money to be made?
Well, if we look at what's happened just from this World Cup, from an Australian perspective, the broadcast numbers are already smashing through. The Australian versus Canada game brought in 4.71 million of an audience on Channel 7, which made it 7th most watched program in 2023 so far. So in terms of advertising dollars and eyeballs there on the game, that's absolutely an investment product. We look at the merchandise. The Matildas jerseys are outselling the Socceroos jerseys from the last Men's World Cup and up to this World Cup as well. Nike's done an amazing job of bringing out some more diverse sizes and spreading out the options that they have available in terms of their fan merch. So it just goes to show you, if you can do a bit of research, look at your audience and make products that are available to many fans of different sizes who wanting not just the on-field cut, but want something a bit more flexible and bigger, something that they can wear with jeans and down to the pub or across to, you know, the watch sites at the fan zones, that they can show their fandom in options that sort of reflect a bit more of our general public. If you make those available, fans will buy them. So there is absolutely money to be made there. So I'm really hoping that this Women's World Cup, a lot of brands are looking at those sales numbers, at those broadcast numbers, and thinking if we do a little bit more research in this space to understand what the audience wants and what they're looking for, and they start to create it, there's going to be a real turning of the tide there, I think, for women's sports in terms of investment.
So clearly there's value there. Is it possible to measure the value of investing in girls and women?
Yes, absolutely. And I think we're starting to see a lot more interest over the last couple of years in that space. There is this growth of women's sport, not just women's football, but we're looking at all our other codes, particularly in Australia with the rise of the AFLW. Australian National Women's Cricket Team is doing so well, and cricket participation numbers are looking really strong from the success of that national representative side and national competitions like the Women's Big Bash, looking at the A-League Women's and what's that going to connect with now with having this major event like the FIFA Women's World Cup here. And, of course, the Australian netball team being so strong. So there's opportunities there. And we haven't had traditionally a lot of research in this space before. So I think we're looking at this time now as being a real moment for women's sports. So if we can do some more research, get some more partners involved and bring together our broadcasters, our manufacturers around products and merchandise, our brands, our partners, there's so much opportunity there. So the time is now to do that work, get those numbers and continue to ride this momentum.
It's real field of dreams stuff, isn't it? I mean, it just seems that as these areas of access are created, they get filled so quickly with interest and, I don't know, people just all of a sudden taking up the FIFA World Cup in a way that hasn't been done before. I know that this is part of it being here and local, but seriously, what held people back from investing in it before when it's such a massive market?
It's so crazy to think of, isn't it, Jeff? And you're so right. Like, this is, if you build it and they will come mentality is exactly what's happening. If you put it on TV, people will watch it. If you make jerseys that fit and are comfortable, people will buy it.
Right.
If you put posters in newspapers, people will put them on their walls for their kids. These things are not really rocket science, but it's such a really difficult thing to explain why it hasn't happened before. And I think there's just been a real resistance and an uncomfortability about women playing sport and with sort of try to protect women in this sense that sort of comes from this long-term, almost, you know, it's rooted in sexism, essentially, that, you know, women can't play sport and they're too delicate. We don't want them to be hurt, so we don't let them try. And when they do, we don't put it on TV because we just assume people are not going to be interested. And it's been like that for a really long time, Jeff. So now we're really seeing things change and people really buying into the narratives of our national sporting women, which is so positive to see because we know, and those of us who have been invested in women's sport and around women's sport for a really long time, we've seen this for so long. We've seen these trailblazers. We've seen women through history do this work and have these amazing outcomes on and off the field when it comes to participating in sport. So now to see the rest of the world catching up and starting to pay attention and getting really invested and having fun while doing it is really, really special. So as I said before, hopefully this is the real start of a bigger movement. We know this has been building for a long time and we can see the results financially as well as society. But when we see something like this so big and so amplified, we've just got to keep going. We can't let this moment slip us by. And once the World Cup finishes, we just go back to business as usual for women's sport. This is where we've got to pull the lever and keep driving that momentum and making sure we're investing in women's sport because the benefits for society just come back threefold.
Yeah, well, if that was the attitude after this, that'd just be completely and utterly foolish. Goodbye, Golden Boat. Why would you do that?
Exactly.
Now, Casey, I know this sort of falls right into the field of rhetoric, this next question, but we've got to go there. What's your tip for tonight's game between Australia and Denmark?
Oh, I'm so nervous, Jeff, but, like, I'm just going to go all in on Matildas. I think they can do it. You know, Denmark's a really strong side, of course, but what the Matildas have been able to put onto the park, particularly without Sam Kerr and all the pressure. Like, yes, they had that, very challenging match against Nigeria, but what they did against Canada, who were the gold medal winners and part of the amazing representation of Canadian football side, which is an incredible side. What they were able to do to get through to the next stage was so impressive. So
well, that's the depth, isn't it?
Exactly. It's not just about Santerra, as much as we want to see her out on the pitch, and she's amazing. We have an incredible Matilda side, so I'm all in. I think they can do it. So, of course, I'm going to be huddled around the television watching them tonight and cheering them on. And, yeah, they're my tip, absolutely.
Yeah, let's go for a 2-1 win.
That would be so good, Jeff. I'll probably start crying if that happens. So if you want to pick up the phone after the game, if that's the score, I'll be bawling my eyes out to you.
Done. Done, mate. It's a date. Casey, thank you so much for the inside run on the World Cup this morning. And we have everything crossed for Australia against Denmark tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff. Go Matildas!
Go Matildas! That was Dr. Casey Simmons, Research Fellow in the Sport Innovation Research Group at Swinburne Uni and an absolute authority on world football. That's her tip there. Go Aussie. Go those Matildas.